31. Diametric differentiation. Let us distinguish yet further between the old life and the new. One important distinction is that sooner or later the healthy believer realizes that he is not alone in his body. The condemned Adam nature from which he was delivered at the cross is nonetheless in residence and as sinful as ever. Unless we see the extent to which the cross separates us from the old, we will not be able to keep clear of the enslaving flesh and walk freely in the spirit. Our Father positionally separated us from the Adam life by our crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension life in the Lord Jesus Christ. One might ask why our Father, after condemning the old man in the death of his Son, should allow that crucified life and nature to reside in his recreated and risen ones. God has perfect reasons for everything that he does, and we can list a few here for consideration. First, he does it to reveal the depth of sinfulness from which we were saved. Secondly, he does it to teach us to count ourselves dead to the old and alive to the new. Third, to teach us to abide in the Lord Jesus, to abide above. Fourth, to teach us to walk in the Spirit below. Fifth, to glorify the Father and manifest the life of the Lord Jesus despite a fallen nature and a fallen body and a fallen world. Sixth, to give us a good cause to watch for his appearing. Seventh, to give us a greater appreciation of eternal glory. In that there are two distinct natures seeking expression by means of our yet unredeemed body, we must keep them separated in our thinking. In itself, the old nature is ever strong to do evil. Only by the Spirit is the new nature strong to bring forth righteousness. And so we look at the Spirit and the old nature before we look at the Spirit and the new nature. So first, the Spirit and the old nature. The sinful nature dooms the sinner and defeats the believer. The growing Christian is sadly aware of the many ramifications of the flesh that fester within. In Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, we read the following. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The progressing believer not only discovers the characteristics of the fallen nature, but he comes to know and experience his overpowering strength despite the fact that he is a new creation in Christ. The fallen life within is undergirded by the power of sin, the power of the body and the world. Romans 7:23 says this: I see another Lord in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. In time, the defeated believer realizes that the Holy Spirit is the one who is commissioned to deal with the old man. We read in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17 the following. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, or the flesh striveth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye may not do the things that you would. Although he could do so, the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with the fleshly life by means of his own strength. He doesn't have to. He depends on what God has already done about the old man. And so should we. The key to deliverance from the works of the flesh is not the strength, as we ultimately learn. Freedom comes by means of explicit faith. As we reckon on Calvary's crucifixion of the Adam life, the Holy Spirit applies the finished work to that life, thereby holding it in the position of death, inoperative. Next, we look at the Spirit and the new nature. While the Spirit draws on the death of the cross to render the old nature powerless, he ministers the life of Christ to render the new nature productive. He works according to the principle of life out of death. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11, we read, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Only the believer who has repeatedly gone down in defeat under the relentless power of the Adam nature can appreciate the necessity of walking in dependence on the Holy Spirit. It is the faithful Spirit who gives growth to our new creation life, slowly manifesting the very image of its source. This growth is evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit, as is set out in cluster form in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We might give some thought to the first segment of that fruit of the vine, which is love. Obviously, this love is that of the Lord Jesus, resident in his nature, and therefore in our new nature. We are to behold this love, as well as all the other characteristics of his life, in order that we may intelligently depend on the Spirit for their development in us. We can look at his love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own and is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Follow after love. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Before considering briefly how to follow after love, we must understand how we are not to walk. What are some of the characteristics of the old nature that we're to shun? Well, it doesn't suffer long. It is unkind. It envies, vaunts itself, and is usually puffed up. It behaves itself unseemly. It seeks its own and is easily provoked and thinks evil. This Adam life within rejoices in iniquity and doesn't rejoice in the truth. It refuses to bear all things, to believe all things. It refuses to hope for all things and to endure all things. Quite the contrary, it always fails. Why be occupied with all that foul brood? So how are we to follow after love? We are to see where God has positioned us and live there. By means of crucifixion and resurrection, our Father has released us from the old life that cannot love and brought us into union with the life of the lover. Your life is hid with Christ in God. God is love. Corinthians 3:3 and 1 John 4 verse 8. As new creations in Christ, we no longer have to yield to the indwelling sin. The cross has freed us from its power. But we're responsible to abide in him by faith, in order that his love and righteousness may be manifest to this needy world. Much of the how to escape the old and become established in the new is embodied in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. First, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Secondly, therefore let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And third, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I make choices daily as to what ground I am on, either to be dominated and defeated by indwelling sin, or to be freed and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no neutrality. The Lord Jesus has made it very clear. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Matthew 6:24. And he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 12, verse 30.